Today on Real Radio.
Joshua is a man of war. He's a man of faith, but I think he's just like us. He was a man who is prone to be needful of encouragement. And I see nothing but encouragement in these passages of Scripture. Let's look at them together.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his look at the book of Joshua. Now, this is the first book after the Pentateuch, and it tells the story of how God's people entered into the Promised Land. Verses 10 through 18 of chapter 1 tell us of Joshua commanding his officers and giving them instruction on what provisions they needed to bring along as they crossed the Jordan. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Obey God and Live.
Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben, what's with these guys? Why are they going to stay on the eastern side? Way back in Deuteronomy, it was voiced by them that they would like to stay on that side of the land. And Moses responded back to them and said, so stay on that side of the land. I'm cutting the story short because of time. So God says, I'll give that to them. They can stay on this side. The rest of the group enter in over to the other side. But Jack, you said last week that the Jordan River is a type of being under the law, going through the Jordan, a conversion experience, and walking in the new walk of the Christian faith. Oh yeah, that's true. Just by way of review, don't think that crossing the Jordan into Canaan land is, as some of the old hymns teach us, going into heaven. Because if it's going into heaven, who wants to go there? There's giants living in the land. There's a lot of evil people. And God is sending them into that land to not only take the land that he had promised to Abraham in chapter 12, there in the record, but they were going to have to fight this battle and get these usurpers of the land out. But God was in it all. Nothing's easy that means anything in this life. Well, we're gonna venture out, Pastor Jack. We feel like the Lord is leading us. That's great. Yeah, and he's given us these verses. Awesome. Yeah, we're gone for it. And then all of a sudden, you know, a bomb goes off 3 feet away from them. Oh, no. What's happened? It's called ministry. This is it. This is going on in the front line. And I'll use the word that I used when I was a little kid. I could never figure out the word scared and afraid. To me, they meant the same thing. And so when that bomb goes off in ministry, you might say, I'm a scared. When I was a little kid and I was afraid, I'd go, I'm a scared. People would say, no, the word is scared. Or no, the word is afraid. Hey, when you were scared like I was and so afraid, you would say, I'm a scared. Sounds like some little country bumpkin, huh? I'm a scared. In this Christian life, there are battles. I don't know how God does it, but in the midst of all of the battles, I wouldn't change a thing. You mean all the terrible things that you're going through, you wouldn't change it? No, I've only been a Christian for 20 years. That's not long concerning the Christian walk. But I've learned something. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And sometimes, usually, most of the time, you hear him the most when things look the worst. None of your friends can help. Nobody's answering the phone on the other end. You're paging and beeping everybody, you know, and there's deaf ears. That's when you find God very big and very present in your situation. I think when God's working, you might even dial 911 and nobody answers the phone. You might dial 911 and you might hear God say back, this is something that you and I are going to go through together. And you might say, Jack, don't even talk like that to me. That makes me a scared. No, it's the only way to grow, but man, it's awesome. Joshua is a man of war. He's a man of faith, but I think he's just like us. He was a man who is prone to be needful of encouragement. And I see nothing but encouragement in these passages of Scripture. Let's look at them together. He says in verse 10, then Joshua commanded. Can you underline that and circle the word then? The word in Hebrew means it's a connection. It connects back to the first nine verses said. Because, the word can mean because, Because of what was said, verses 1 through 9, Joshua taking them to heart, man, this is pure, direct Bible application. If you apply verses 1 through 9 in your life, then you can turn around with Joshua and command. Why? He's taken it to heart. He may be weak. He may be a different man than Moses. He may have his problems that he's aware of. The fact of the matter is, when he heard that encouragement come from God, Joshua turns to the people and it says, then Joshua commanded. And this command is a military command. We all understand that. We even know what it might sound like. But what we don't get out of the written text is the passion of Joshua. Joshua turned with a complete, renewed passion, and there was compassion in his voice to the people. And he's speaking so confidently to them. There is not some cold, dictatorial leadership. The pulpit is not made of stone. Joshua stands there and he issues a proclamation, and he does it the way God has decreed it to be so. God has his government. He really does. It is a theocracy. It operates in a church where he is left to be God and left to be the leader. Truly, I like to put it, left to be the pastor. When things go wrong around here, I just look at him. People come chewing on my leg, I just say, hey, let's take it upward here. Let's talk to him about it. I don't want to pastor this flock. Lord, these are your people. You take care of them. One time a pastor came to Charles Spurgeon. He says, you know, Pastor Charles Spurgeon, you have 10,000 people attending your service, and I have 50. What can I do about that? And Spurgeon gave an awesome response. He says, you know, because it's impossible to take care of 10,000 people. It's impossible to take care of 10 people. Spurgeon said to that man, he says, you know, it's very, very possible that the Lord has given you those 50 people for you to pour your love and life into them. That's why he's given you 50. He said, my 10,000, I scarcely know them. Different callings, same ministry. Different directions, same spirit. Moses seemed invincible. Joshua seems, even though he's a warrior, somewhat gentle and in need of encouragement. Both of them, I'm certain, had a different type of a devotional life. When it says, then Joshua commanded, look, the officers of the people. So he got his officers together and he says, listen, I'm commanding this of you guys, and it's all in love. So if you've got some authoritarian picture in your head, flush it and put a new view in there. God's ministers are to be willing and able, and not only willing and able, but glad to bleed for the body. It comes with a call. So when Joshua turns and says, hey, officers, tell the people to make provision, for in 3 days we're going to be going over. That news would have incited a great cheer from the crowd. All right! But the command came in a spirit of love. Perfection? No. No man is perfect. You look at the book of Hebrews. You look at chapter 13, where three times in Hebrews chapter 13, it mentions to submit to those who must give an answer for your spiritual welfare before God in the end. That's me. That's others that lead in ministry. You might say, well, I don't like you. You know what? It doesn't say you have to like him. If you sit here under this church or any fellowship, you're supposed to submit unto the Lord by what the Lord is doing here through the leadership. If you don't like that, you're so free to go. I just want you to know that I stand in fear because I will give an answer to God in the end for your soul. Did you grow while you visited this church? All I'm hoping to hear is God says, Jack, they were there 6 weeks and they grew. Next. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm supposed to feed. I'm supposed to water you and prepare the meal and give it to you. And I'll have to give an answer in the end. In Hebrews 13, three times the ministry is called upon to give an answer or to be responsible. Joshua knows these things. He's being led by the Spirit of God. But notice the chain of command. It's beautiful. He makes this command to the officers, verse 11, and this is the command. Pass through the camp. Make a search and make an announcement. Make it clear to them. Command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan. 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 Yar is the north. Dan is from the north. Dan, the tribe of Dan, lived in the north. They prepare the people. They will cross over Jordan. This north, Dan from the north, the river of the north, the river that comes out of Dan. They're going to cross over. Now, at this moment, it's not the little gentle Jordan flowing during the summer or the fall. It is the springtime of a Jordan River that overflows its banks, and it is dangerous and swift. This is the setup that God has arranged. All of the people standing there at the worst time of the year. You ever heard that before? Why do we go on vacation at this time of the year? Why didn't we do this at a better time? Things couldn't have been worse. God gets a charge out of those times. He looks great. He looks faithful. He looks wonderful. And we look mighty dependent upon Him, don't we? It's fun. Even in this group, this particular service, the few of us that are here right now together, you can ask somebody, how's it going? It's great. Going great. How's business? Great. Sales are up. Things are cranking. I ask them next month, how's it going? Not so well. Why? Sales are down 30%. I don't know how long we can take it. Take what? The sales are down 30%, I said. Okay, these things come and go in life. What does this mean? And they start to stress. What's concerning you? Give it to Him. 1 Peter 5, 7 says to heave. I love the word in the Greek. It's cast in your Bible. Sounds cute. Cast. Cast your cares upon Him, your concerns upon Him, for He cares for you. The word in the Greek is heave, like chuck the thing. Grab it and shut put it over to Him. That's what we're supposed to do. Some big care comes into our life. Some big thing, some announcement. Oh man, get it, grab it. Put it right over to God. Like a hot potato. Get rid of the thing. Notice this. The command is sure. We will pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess. I love that. Possess it. Cross over and own it. Make it your own, says God. Verse 12, and to the Reubenites and Gadites and to the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, and we read it and talked about it a moment ago. He said, remember the word of the Lord, or the word which was spoken to Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanding you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives and your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. Now listen to this. Of the Jordan, he says, but you shall pass before your brothers armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them. I love this. I hope you don't think I'm stretching it by putting it to you this way. Their promise, so to speak, had been fulfilled. They looked around, they remembered Deuteronomy, and they remembered what had been spoken to Moses, and they said, hey, by our compass here, we're standing on our land that's been allocated to us. We've already arrived. So, hey, maybe people back then began to pitch tents and go out and look for plywood and start getting some marble pillars going up. And hey, this is it. This is where we're going to be. But Joshua says, listen, yeah, it's true. You're standing on the ground that you're supposed to be on. But listen, your brothers, the bulk of the team, they haven't crossed over yet. So can you go get all your men of valor, your guys of war, get them up front and have them armed. The word here, armed, we would say in our modern day tongue, armed to the teeth. They got a sword in each boot. They got bullets across their chest, you know. They got machine guns and Uzis. And they've got one more knife left, so they don't know where to put it, so they put it right in their teeth. They're armed to the teeth. Have your men pass before your brothers armed to the teeth. Why? It's for them. So you're struggling a little bit in your Christian walk, are you? Yeah, I don't know what to do. Well, remember what James taught us? Be warm and be filled. Have a nice day. Oh, no. Go ahead of them. Go before them. Go to them armed. Encourage them in the battle. Do I know anybody who's having a tough time right now in their Christian walk? Oh, go to them armed. Walk up to them and say, come on, I refuse to have you draw your curtains and just hide behind your problem. Let's get going. Come on, you're going to go with me. Come on, we're going to go take a walk. Go get them. Rescue them. Encourage them. Because when we do get hit by the enemy, oftentimes, what do? We get introspective. We begin to just look at self. We begin to look at others as someone who doesn't experience what we do. We're the only ones like this. And that's one of the lies of Satan. Nobody's going through what I've gone through. And Satan will say, yeah, that's right. And don't even mention a word to anybody because they'll never understand you. In fact, they'll think you're nuts. And yet we're all in the same thing. Go before them armed. Encourage them. Verse 15, until he has given your brethren rest, as he has given you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession. And I love this next statement, and enjoy it. I want to come back to that in the end. Enjoy it, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise or toward the east. And they answered Joshua. This is the attitude that you and I need to have today. And as Christians, we need to make a solemn pledge unto the Lord, I believe. This is what they say. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. That's encouraging words to Joshua. Listen to the prerequisite. This is the most godly accountability that can exist in a church. And all other attempts are futile attempts by men. This is their prerequisite. Joshua, this is all we ask. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. That's negative church growth tactics right there. Only be strong. This is their second command. Only be strong and of good courage. You can have a committee that keeps check on the committee that keeps check on a committee that keeps check on the committee. You can never engineer a human device that can substitute for true spirituality and a relationship with God. You cannot create it. It must happen with the individuals of Calvary Chapel here in your own private life. And what will happen? Don't ask me to explain it. I think it's beyond the ability to explain. If you spend time with God and Sundays and Wednesdays or Thursdays and Mondays and Tuesdays and Saturdays are only supplements to your personal growth with God, you follow God, I follow God, Robert follows God, Tim follows God, John follows God, we follow God in the Spirit as a church, you know what's going to happen? We will grow in the things of God. We will grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. Guaranteed. Joshua, buddy, we love you. This only we command of you. Sure, what is it? That you go with God. That's cool. And you be strong and courageous. Now he's getting it from the people. You be strong and courageous. He got it from God. He got it from Moses. Now he's getting it from the flock. Be strong, Pastor Joshua. That's love. What a congregation. But an excellent example of encouragement. Their parents went from griping and complaining to somehow producing offspring that God was able to work with and turn them into people obedient to the will of God. Then you shall return to the land which your possession and enjoy it. Can you believe that's in the Bible? Is it a pain for you to come here? Do you have to be drug in here? Do you have to be coerced? Then stay home. Husband who's dragging your wife, don't drag her anymore. Let her go to hell if that's what she wants to do. Wife, if you're dragging your husband and he's, I don't want to go, then let him go. I don't want that. You know, that guy always goes 5 to 10 minutes over every week. Hey, I can name a church, in and out church, 55 minutes guaranteed. They guarantee it. There, that's where you ought to go. And everybody's carrying a Bible. I get nervous. What does everybody carry their Bible for? Go to a church that doesn't carry a Bible, if you can scarcely call it a church. Don't come here because you have to. Now, some 15-year-old might be saying, hey, did you hear that, Dan? It does not apply to teens. You drag them by the earring. But in all seriousness, hey, don't come. Don't come. You're just taking up a seat that needs to be freed up, for one thing. The other thing is, the more gospel you hear, and you harden your heart against God, and you're not enjoying Him as a person, then you're playing a game. And the more you come here, or the more you go anywhere where the Word of God is proclaimed, you're digging yourself a really, really serious grave. To whom much is given, much will be required. So just stay home. But for the rest of us who have decided to follow Jesus, this Bible commands us to enjoy our walk.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at Joshua chapter 1 verses 10 through 18. It's an account of Joshua commanding his military officers just a few days before crossing the Jordan. And the title of the study is Obey God and Live. Isn't that a great title? It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse examination of this very interesting historical book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently, we presented Pastor Jack's fascinating look at the Ten Commandments. We hope you got to spend a lot of time with us. Well, here at Real Radio, we offer this series on the Ten Commandments on an MP4 DVD for the price of just $25. But for the month of May, this MP4 DVD is yours for a gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. Now, of course, an MP4 DVD means that you can view the series on your computer or right there on your smartphone. So again, that's Pastor Jack's entire 13-part series on the Ten Commandments for your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. How do you get yours? Well, visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org, and you'll see right where to point and click. realradioactive.org. If you'd like to call, the number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.